Mario Andrade. Are you one of our regular students for Self-Improvement Wednesday? Each week you get to learn something new. You listen this week. The artist Richard Bell. Your teacher is Lizanne McGregor, Director of the Museum of Contemporary Art. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Richard.
This is a fascinating story of an Indigenous artist who goes from making boomerangs
indeed
for the Brisbane tourist trade to becoming this very out there figure in international art.
Absolutely. Richard Bell is an activist as much as he is as an artist. There's a very funny quote, which I can't repeat because it's bad language, but he said, "I became an artist because I realised I could say what the F I wanted." So he is able to use his art to get his very strong views over. His childhood was, I think, very typical of someone of his generation. He was born in 1953 in far west Queensland, brought up in a town that he now would describe as highly racist. But at the time he said, well, I was aware that the white kids were being picked up on the bus to go to school and us black kids left on the pavement. But at the time we just thought, we don't want to be on the bus with those smelly white kids. So children, I think that early experience really informed his outlook as he grew up.
He's moving around a lot during this time. His dad's a drover,
indeed,
right?
Indeed. So not settling very much. And then ultimately moved by the government when in the town he was living in, the government didn't want to spend on the infrastructure for the Aboriginal population. So they were moved into towns and with disastrous consequences, we know, for many young Aboriginal people. He drifted a bit, but then he kind of got his act together, ended up in Brisbane and started making tourist art, boomerangs with his brother, actually. And he didn't know anything about the world of art, as it were, but he did have the good fortune to meet people and he started talking about art. I mean, he is highly intelligent and he wanted to know about this world and was gathering all this information and was very fortunate to meet a very man whose father had been hugely influential in the Aboriginal art world, a man called Lynn Onus, who died tragically very young, quite young. And Richard saw an exhibition actually at the MCA and was very inspired by this to develop his own art practice. So he wasn't trained in the right way, but underneath it all, he was burning to talk more about this issue of black and white Australia and particularly land rights. He was involved in protest. He worked for the Aboriginal Legal Service for a while, so he had that real activist background.
Yeah, and it feels like agitprop, doesn't it, that old-fashioned word, but you've got lots of words and images and slogans in the artwork.
Yes, and he's really taken on this issue about who is Aboriginal art for. You know, there's been a huge amount of interest in certain kinds, or there was in certain kinds of Aboriginal art. Dot painting, of course. Of course, with this huge boom in the art market and people loving it, but he felt very strongly the more he looked at it, the more it seemed to be controlled by white people and producing to some extent a kind of art that white people would respond to. And he, of course, wanted to talk about more difficult subjects, about the real state of affairs between black and white in Australia, which led him to make paintings that were a kind of a critique of this situation, often being critical of white artists taking over Indigenous symbols, for example, and not doing anything that really benefited them. So the power relation between black and white artists is very much in the forefront.
Okay, and he thinks a lot about appropriation, doesn't he? I mean, it's a great and current topic in the world of theatre and novels and all sorts of things, but to what extent is it a good thing for white artists to be influenced by Aboriginal modes of expression, and to what extent is it stealing?
Mm. He's very much in the stealing camp. He thinks that the power relations are such that even if white artists are saying they're collaborating and drawing attention to this wonderful culture, that in itself is fraught with problems because of the cultural and power imbalance that exists within the way these two groups of people live, just their very lives. White artists going into the desert and being inspired by, of course, amazing work, but you have to acknowledge that there is a big problem around it.
He uses painting, as we've discussed, but he also uses video, doesn't he?
Video, his videos are incredible, very funny, biting humour. One of my favourites is called The Dinner Party, and it's actually fairly recent, I think about 2 years old, and it's a scene of what well-heeled people sort of in the, you know, you'd imagine the eastern suburbs of Sydney, collectors sitting around with this artist discussing all kinds of things, and then the news comes through that the first Aboriginal Prime Minister has been put into power. And this Aboriginal Prime Minister is going to, of course, reverse all the imbalances, the wrong things that have been done to Aboriginal people. people, restoring land rights, restoring, making them owners of Australia again, giving them back the original ownership, but done in a very funny way. And the group become increasingly uncomfortable and begin to reveal their own deep down fears, even though they wanted to be part of this, you know, this world of Aboriginal art, that at the same time they're deeply
terrified. They don't really
terrified.
Want to lose anything from
absolutely
it.
Absolutely not. And another one I love, where it's just called Us and Them, where he's actually reversing some of the phrases that are used. So he says things like, he's talking about white people, they're just like children. The trouble with white people is that they're lazy like children. I'm not racist. Some of my best friends are white. And by just switching it, you laugh and then you actually stop, because it's actually quite confronting.
That's right. It's a
flip.
Because
it is the kind of thing that people see.
Richard Bell, we're talking about the Indigenous artist. The most incredible of all, really, is quite a recent work designed for the Venice Biennale.
Yeah, so he began to create a series of installations based on the Tent Embassy in Canberra, which was a way of, you know, really important symbol of the land rights movement, where young men started camping, initially just men, but eventually built up to include everyone, in the grounds of Parliament House in 1972, which was about drawing attention to the theft of Aboriginal land. So he has created an installation where he puts up a tent, like a military-style tent, with slogans around it. You know, you are, if you're in Australia, you are on stolen land, etc., etc. Pretty hard-hitting slogans, as you see from his paintings as well. And then he stages a series of talks and discussions, and it's really brilliant because he responds to the context of where it's shown. And it's been all around the world. I saw it in Moscow in a biennale about 6 years ago. It's been outside the MCA. It started in Melbourne. And most recently, it was in Venice for the biennale. But the story has another twist, because, of course, Australia has a fabulous pavilion and puts an official artist to the Venice Biennale every year. And Richard applied to be that artist and he wasn't selected.
I wonder why.
Well, because what he wanted to do was to close the pavilion and chain it up as a symbol of the exclusion of Aboriginal people and Aboriginal artists from the art world.
And so allow no one in.
Brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. Totally conceptually brilliant. Totally, obviously not going to be accepted. However, he went ahead, he ran his campaign, and to give the Australia Council their due, they actually gave him some money separately, and he made a replica of the pavilion chained and had it on a barge travelling around Venice, so that you'd turn around, you'd be in the middle of something, you'd turn around and there was the pavilion chained.
Well, floating down the canal.
And then on land, of course, he had the embassy, the tent, and he had fabulous speakers, you know, philosophers like Michael Taussig. He had Native American artists talking and debating about issues of race, identity, politics of today. And it really was, for me, the highlight. I mean, I have to say, the official pavilion with Angelica Masiti was beautiful. Richard stole the show and really brought home, I think, those issues in a humorous but also very deep-seated way.
There's a traditional name for this guy in Australia. He's a stirrer.
He sure is. I mean, I love things like he calls white art, you know, the Aboriginal art made for white people, ooga booga art.
Made to hang on the wall and look pretty.
Ooga booga art. And so his use of language is so fantastic. And to cap it all, I am really thrilled that the embassy will be presented at the Tate Modern in 2021.
In London. Yeah.
In London, in the Turbine Hall, because that work has been co-acquired between the museum and the Tate in London, thanks to Qantas. So we're really thrilled.
So the MCA and the Tate are doing it. Yep. Okay.
We own it together. And it's pretty radical for it to be there in 2021.
Okay, so that is the Turbine Hall of the MCA, of the Tate. Is the kind of
the pinnacle?
It's the pinnacle, the showcase of modern art.
Well, if you think that
it?
5 million people go to the Tate in a year, the work will be up for 3 months. So if you do the maths, it's a lot of people that are going to see Richard Bell with his fantastic protest art.
Be proud. He's a stirrer, and he's our stirrer.
Totally.
Elizabeth Ann McGregor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Another lesson in self-improvement Wednesday from the Director of the Museum of Contemporary Art, Elizabeth Ann McGregor, this week on the Indigenous artist Richard Bell. You can listen again online at abc.net.au/Sydney. There you'll also find details of how to subscribe to the free self-improvement podcast and have the lesson delivered to you each week. Next week, Emotional Intelligence with Tim Dean. He's philosopher at the University of Sydney and a faculty member at the School of Life. That's self-improvement next week.